To the Community Corner Podcast, Personal Finance Edition. This is Rashmi, and I'm joined by my co-host, Olivia.
Today, we are looking at probably the most popular form of investment, stocks.
That's right. I feel like the first word that comes to mind when people think of personal finance is stocks. So this is definitely a long-awaited episode.
Yes, after 30 episodes focused on personal finance, we finally made it to the one thing everyone remembers, stocks. Stocks are a really misunderstood form of investment due to the whole volatile nature of it. And investing in the stock market does come with risks, but making the right investment choices, it can be done safely with minimal risk of long-term losses. The belief that stocks are a very risky investment choice comes from day trading, which requires rapidly buying and selling stocks based on price swings. But this is extremely risky and should not be done unless you have deep knowledge of the topic. There's a better way to use stocks for your personal finances.
Yep. And on the other hand, investing in the stock market for the long term has proven to be an excellent way to build wealth over time. This means that if you put your money in certain stocks and let it sit for a couple of years or more, it is guaranteed that your money will grow. Say that you invested in Amazon on July 1st, 2022, where the price of the stock was $109.56. However, on December 30th, 2023, the price went down to $84. As of today, the price of Amazon is $155.34.
Even though the money dropped during the time you had the money invested, it still grows back to the price when you invested or exceeds that price altogether. Keep in mind, the stock market has an annual 10% return ratio per year.
Exactly. Don't worry, this may be a little confusing, but we will break it down to make sure you guys have a concrete understanding of the world of stocks. Instead of the usual one episode per topic, we will be splitting this into two episodes so we can explain it as thoroughly as possible.
In its essence, stocks are a type of investment that represents ownership of a fraction of the company you bought from. It's like being a mini CEO, but very mini.
Very mini. But why would companies willingly want people to own their own part of the company? Isn't that defeating the purpose of being a CEO?
Well, the thing with stocks is that even if the said company wants to grow or start a new project, they need money to do that. And the reason why companies issue stocks is because when you buy a stock, you're buying the company, part of it, and you're giving money to the company, so you're raising funds so that that company can reach its goals.
Right. That makes a lot more sense now. It's kind of similar how we would invest in an air company to fund our goals.
That's a great connection, although the companies are on a much larger scale, and the idea is the same.
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, buying stocks is essentially being a mini CEO, very mini. But there's an actual word for this, and it's called shareholder.
It's called shareholder because shares are the unit for stocks. So if someone says, I bought 5 shares of Tesla, it means they have bought 5 parts of the company.
Something to keep in mind is that if you own 33% of the shares of a company, it is incorrect to say that you own 1/3 of that company. However, you do own 1/3 of the company's shares. This is known as the separation of ownership and control.
There's also a figurative place where you buy these shares of the company. We call it the stock market. You'll also hear the word stock exchange, but these are used interchangeably. So it's called stock market, but there's also other forms of securities you can trade, like ETFs. For the purpose of this episode, though, we're going to focus on the stock side of the market.
The stock market allows buyers and sellers for efficient price discovery for shares of corporations. They are assured of fair price, high degree of liquidity, which is how easy you can convert it into cash, and transparency as market participants compete in the market.
Yeah, so just a little history on when the stock market began. According to Investopedia, the first stock market was the London Stock Exchange, which began in a coffee house, where traders met to exchange shares in 1773. The first stock exchange in the US began in Philadelphia in 1790.
I thought that the one in New York was the first stock exchange, but it wasn't until 19 years later that it was created. The Buttonwood Agreement, so named because it was signed under a buttonwood tree, marked the beginning of New York Stock Exchange in 1792.
Yeah, and stock markets operate as primary markets and secondary markets. The primary market is where newly issued securities are offered and sold for the first time directly from the issuing company or government to investors. When a company decides to go public or issue additional shares, it does so through an initial public offering, known as an IPO.
The secondary market, on the other hand, is where existing securities that have already been issued in the primary market are bought and sold among investors, and it does not involve the issuing company directly.
The New York Stock Exchange is an example of a platform where secondary market trading takes place.
Stock markets are made up of a plethora of companies, and it's really hard to track the progress of all of them individually. This is why we have these stock market indexes like the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the S&P 500. They represent large sections of the stock market consisting of many different companies. For example, the S&P 500 index is made up of 500 companies, hence the 500.
I love those names when they tell you what they mean. And the reason why they have these indices is because they represent a big portion of that market, because the performance of the indices is viewed as representative of the whole market. You might see a news headline that says the stock market has moved lower or higher, meaning the stocks within the index have either gained or lost value as a whole. One might go up and another might go down, but overall, they go up or go down together.
Yeah, it's like the average of all the companies inside that index. With the stock market being a complex system filled with many intricate components, we cannot leave all of this to the general public to regulate and manage. This is why most nations that have a stock market are regulated by a local financial regulator, monetary authority, or institute. The SEC is the regulatory body charged with overseeing the U.S. stock market.
All corporations have to meet certain requirements such as timely filing of quarterly financial reports and instant reporting of relevant corporate developments in order to ensure that all market participants are informed. If a company fails to meet this requirement, the SEC can suspend the company for trading and can give it other disciplinary measures.
Now, from when stocks began in 1773 to now in 2024, trading in the stock market has changed drastically due to technology. The earliest stock markets issued and dealt in paper-based physical share certificates.
Now, when trade buyers offer a bid, or the highest amount they're willing to pay, which is usually lower than the amount sellers ask for in an exchange, this difference is called the bid-ask spread. For a trade to occur, a buyer needs to increase their price, or a seller needs to decrease theirs.
Now, what does this have to do with technology? Well, this system sounds really intricate and complex, so computer algorithms generally do most of this price-setting calculations. When buying stock, you'll see the bid, ask, and bid ask spreads on your broker's website.
Hopefully, this episode helped you get a better understanding of what stocks are and the structure of the system. Next episode, we're going to dive deeper into the different types of stocks and platforms to use to start your journey in investing in stocks.
That's all for this episode of Community Corner Podcast, Personal Finance Edition. Thanks for tuning in. This is Rashmi and Olivia, cashing off.